times we share together, heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through His precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again, just inside the city, as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be
And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, God's family. God's
says, I don't mind waiting. This brethren, so I'm telling you tonight, just hold on. Heaven is a real place. It's going to be real. Your Lord says, I have a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's offering time.
Rest on the banks of your river, in that city, city of God. John saw the lion laid down by the lamb. I want to know everything about that land. John saw the day, but he did not see night. The Lamb of God, well, it must be the light. He saw the saints worship the great I Am, crying, worthy, worthy is that Lamb. I want to go to that city he saw, New Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I want
your streets that are golden. And I want to run where the angels of trod. Jerusalem, I want to rest on the banks of your river. In that city, city of God. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna forever, forevermore. Jerusalem, I want to walk your streets that are golden. And I want to run where the angels are trod. Jerusalem, I want to rest on the banks of your river. In that city, city of God.
Amen. What's on Paulie, man? That was good enough. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, man. The city of God. Praise God. And I'm destined to be there. I want to see all of my brothers and sisters as we all march in to the city of gold. You know, night after night, we have been blessed by our evangelists. The messages that you have been presenting to us, indeed, we have been stirred. We have been encouraged. And indeed, all of us must be resolved in our minds that we are going to, along with our family members, that we are going to make heaven our home. Tonight again, she's here with a message from God to encourage families for better living. Because indeed, in these last days, I must let you know the families are under attack. And the only way we can stand is if we are fortified and surrounded by God, the Word of God. Tonight, our evangelist comes again with another message. We ask that just to lift her up in prayer so that whatever she says, it will strengthen us and strengthen our families. Before she comes, we'll stand as we sing our theme song. We're standing on the holy ground.
Good night, brethren. Let us kneel for prayer. Eternal and most holy Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning in our right mind. And you took us through the day, we did our various chores, and Lord, you have brought us safely here tonight. We want to thank you. Tonight, Lord, as we come to hear a word from you through your woman servant. And Lord, we ask that you will just bless us. But Lord, I pray that you will clean me up so that when I pray, my prayer will be accepted. Lord, I place before you your woman servant, your mouthpiece. Lord, we pray that you will endow her with your Holy Spirit more than ever before. Lord, tonight is the last night of the four-week series. Lord, the blood is not on her shoulder because she has delivered what you have given her to speak. And so, Lord, we ask now that you will just continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon her. And may those in the hearing of her voice, Lord, may they yield before it is too late. And we who have accepted you will continue to hold on and to do your biddings. Dear Lord, your congregation is here tonight. Many are sick, but they are here. Lord, we pray that you will bless them. Pray that you will set a curfew around the church, Lord, so that the devil would not distract them. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bless the congregation tonight and beyond. Bless the speaker tonight and beyond. May you continue to cover her, that as she speaks for you, souls will be born for your kingdom. So continue to bless her, Lord. Bless her family, because, Lord, we know that the devil is around her because she's speaking your word. So, Lord, we pray that you will just cover her and continue to cover the family and help them to be faithful until you come. So, Lord, bless the proceedings tonight. Bless the waiting congregation. May the words go forth with simplicity, power, and clarity, and men will know that you rule in the affairs of men. Help us to trust in you. Increase our faith. And, Lord, as we listen to your word tonight, may heaven come down and glory shine around. So have your own way, and we leave everything into your care. And may the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be accepted to you in our sight. O Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray.
Put it on a little in the center. Thanks.
All right, good night, family. Tonight has brought us to the close of our Happy Family Bible Seminar, our final presentation. Although we will have one next week, Sunday night. I was asked to be here next week, Sunday night, but officially, our seminar closes tonight, and I trust that we have been blessed and hope that lives have been changed, and I hope that our commitment to God has become deeper than it was when we first started. Tonight, we're going to be looking at our teenagers. We hadn't dealt with them. I don't know how many of them are here tonight, but tonight's program will be relating to our teenagers, Hug Me and Kiss Me, parenting our teenagers. And we know it's not very easy sometimes to parent teenagers. It can be very challenging, and especially when parents don't understand how teenagers are, sometimes there is a lot of challenge and a lot of, you know, back and forth and anger and all kinds of stuff, because even as adults, we seem to forget that we were teenagers one time too. We don't remember that we were teenagers and we had the same challenges as they have. Sometimes we behave as if we never had that, or we never behaved that way at all. We were perfect, and that is not so. So we need to remember as parents that we were teenagers one time. All right, so here is this teenager, Tanya, and her daddy having all kinds of struggles. And one of the reasons why the teenage years are so difficult is that as a teenager, you're not a child and you're not an adult at the same time. So you're in between, and that makes it difficult because some people want to treat you like a child and some people want to treat as if you're an adult, and you're not an adult and you're not a child. So what really are you? So this era, these few years of teenage can be very, very challenging for the teenager themselves and also for the parents themselves, because there are several issues that come up. And we're going to look at some of the issues. One of them is what? Independence. That when you move into teenage years, that there usually is a desire to cut the relationship with the parent. They feel as if they are big and they can make their own decision, and they want to be free of every parental control. The parents are not supposed to tell them what to do. Sometimes when you watch some of the children that is in the United States, they're telling their parents that, I'm an adult now, I'm a big woman now, I'm a big man now, you can't tell me what to do. And of course, the parents are going to have a struggle because they know that they need to guide their young people. And so there is this feeling of independence that I am now an adult, but you're not an adult. A teenager is not an adult, and you're not a child at the same time. So the parents have to be able to balance both of them, not treating as a little baby girl at 5 and 7 and 8, and also can't treat you as if you are 21 and up, because you are not. And so that is one of the reasons why it is so very difficult. It's also the time when they try to identify exactly who they are, what they want. That's the time that they start to question church principles if they are grown up in the church. That's the time they start to question the church. Why I have to do that? Why I can't go here? Why I can't wear that? Why? And it's not anything that is bad about it. It's just that they're at the stage now when they need to own whatever they're doing. They need to own it now. They can't just run behind you as parents to say they just come to church. They need to know why they're coming to church. They need to know why they have to keep the Sabbath, why they can't go to the movies. They need to know that. Before that, they were just following you. But now they need to own something for themselves. They need to be convinced of it. And especially by the time they reach 14 and 15, they're at the fork of the road. That's where they are at the fork. And that's where most of the decisions are going to be made as to which direction they're going to go. Whether they're going to stay on the principles that you have taught them, or whether they're going to go on a different principle. So when they reach that age, it becomes even more difficult because they now have to make a decision as to what they really want and what direction their life is going to take. And you'll find a number of young people when they get that age, either they stop coming to church, or they lose interest, their behavior change, because they are at the fork of the road right now at their time. The next thing, they're going to question the ideologies that they were taught by their parents, the value systems that they came up in. They're going to start wondering, why I have to do this? Why I can't do like somebody else? Why I can't go here? Why I can't stay out later at night? Why I can't put on this? And so this whole heap of argument, and the mother and the father say, no, not in my house. And they're saying, but I am big, I can do what I want. And so you see the whole struggle that is taking place. There's not every teenager that goes through that. Some don't. And some at this stage are more adamant. They're harder to control at this age. Very difficult sometimes. And I remember one of my sisters, I tell you, it was something. She was feisty, disrespectful, very rude at this time. I was not like that. I was different from them. My mother always say that. Because I was more like more quiet. There's a church that has opened my mouth. Before I came to church, I didn't talk much, very, very quiet, but the church has taught me, you know, I've really opened my mouth. So she didn't have that problem with me, but one of my sisters was very rude and very rebellious. But you know something, as she moved out of the teenage, she's my younger sister, but as she moved out the teenage years, I could see the difference. There was just a level of maturity. She just changed. Her behavior pattern just changed. And I recognize that the teenage years can be very challenging years. And they're going to question a lot of things that they're doing. And it's not that they mean to be rude, but they really need to know. They can't be doing it because you think so anymore. They need to be convinced themselves that this is the right path. This is a good way to live. You can't be let go up and down like the other people you see on the street, and there's a reason for it, because there's a standard that you have in home and all of that. So it's very important, and that's why it is earlier when the children are young to have a good rapport with them, so you can talk with them and guide them and direct their life. So adolescence is not only a challenging time for the youth, but also for the parents. Yes, and some parents don't know what to do. They really are confused and they really give up and say, boy, I just can't bother with her, can't bother. But you have to bother, parents. You have to bother. And even though they sound so rebellious, they really need your guidance. They really and truly need to know that you're interested in their lives and that you have their best interests at heart and that you're not letting them go. You can't let them go like that. Because now, after I've grown up, I came to understand a lot of things and I was able to tell my mother, how much I appreciated what she did for me, even though I was rebellious at some of the times and wish that she didn't have to tell me everything, and I wish I could do things that I wanted and wish I could go out when I want and come in when I want. And she said, not in my house, none of that. At certain times, we have to be in, and I'm happy that she did all of that for us. Because it guided our lives. Because maybe if she had just let us loose, I don't know what would happen. So even though they might seem as if they're not appreciating it now, you know when they get older, because it happened to you too. That as you got older, you appreciated what your parents did for you and the guidance that they had in your life. So it is very important. So we're going to look at the parents now. There are going to be disagreements, young people. They are not going to agree with everything that you say, but they must do it in a respectful way. So if they don't agree with what you're saying, they can say, mommy or daddy, I don't agree with what you think, but and give their point. And you should listen to them too. And hear what they have to say. Hear them through. Don't just shut them down and shut them up. Well, this is what I say in the house and none of that in it, and it finish. You have to sit and let them reason with you because they have a brain and they can think and they can reason. So they will share with you why they think they can play this kind of music in the house. And you reason with them and show them the reason why. You're going to ask them questions. Let them answer their own questions. So as teenagers, you're expected to do what? Honor your father and your mother. Respect is due. And I believe in respect from young people. I really believe in that. And parents should not allow their youngsters, at least from their very small, you should not allow your children to disrespect you, to speak to you anyhow. I see young people talking to adults and they say, yes, no, and shake their head. I don't know what, when I was growing up a teenager, I couldn't do that. I couldn't answer my mother, no. I said, no, mama. And no, papa, you better say that. And when you speak to an adult, you have to say, no, mister, no, Mr. So-and-so, or Miss So-and-so, or auntie. Nowadays, young people, they just say, no, sir, yes, no. And they talk to you as if you are and them are on the same level. Parents must not put up with that kind of thing. You must let your children know that they don't speak to you like that. They cannot speak to you like that. And I will not tolerate that, not my children, none at all. As big as they are, I let them know I am bigger than you. No matter how old you get, I am older than you. And I will not tolerate you. I'm speaking on the phone. You're going to answer me, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. And you'll hear them on the phones because I repeat myself. So if they answer me yes or no, I repeat what I said a while ago. So they get the message that you don't answer me like that. So I don't tolerate with my children. None at all. I don't care how big they are. And they have children. Yes, they have children. But they must respect me and they must respect their father. So as parents, we must allow our children to be rude and speak to us anyhow. It must be done in a respectful way. Even if they disagree respectfully. And respect is, and our society has become a very disrespectful society right now. A child will go in through the door with you and they'll almost push you over. They don't say excuse me anymore. They don't say please and thank you anymore. All those value systems have seemed to be disappeared. And as parents, we allow our children to do that. Because we don't insist that you say thank you and please and excuse me. And the young men, when they're going to the door with their parent, their mother, that they step back and allow their mother to go through, open the door for your mother. I say to my sons, you practice on me. Practice on me. So if I'm going to the door, you open the door and let me go in. So when you get married, you will treat your wife or any other female that you meet, you will know that this is how you treat a female. You don't push past her in the door and push past her anywhere. You step back and allow her to go. And you open a door for her. And you put a chair for her to sit. Once a female is